Amen. Amen. Thank you, Kelsey. You know, last week we were talking about using Psalms and reading the Psalms in a devotional kind of way. And so this last week, as I was here reading through Psalm 110, because I'm, you know, preparing for Chad to teach on that sometime. you know, that might be January. We don't know right now. But you know, I'm reading it, and my eyes glanced over at Psalm 109. Okay, only because I have something highlighted there. I've got lines, I've got a star, I've got a date, and I've got it written out. And so you know, this book is really for me a prayer journal as well as my scripture. I can go through the Psalms and I can look in every single one of them, all of my notes, my underlines, my stars, because it was something that struck me at the time. And I wanted to just kind of note that, right? So a lot of times I'll just put a date by a verse, and this one just happens to be 2/23/16. I don't know what was going on February 23rd of 2016, but something about this struck me. And so when my eyes caught it, it said this, "But I am a man of prayer." That's the verse, the phrase. It's not even a whole verse. And, you know, as I landed on that, it was like, the Lord just kind of struck my heart a little bit, like, pause on this. Look at that. What does that mean? And I wasn't sure at first, is that a challenge or is that an affirmation? I mean, is the Holy Spirit in that moment guiding me to this to say, I'm affirming you, Tom, that because you're a man of prayer, the things that you're burdened with, and, you know, I bring a lot of burdens to God. Okay? Because he told me to. He told me to bring all my burdens to him. And so I bring a lot of burdens to God. And when I bring those to him, I felt, is he saying to me, be encouraged because you are a man of prayer? Or is he challenging me to say that all that you bring to me will go better and I will be more powerful in it the more you give yourself over to being a man of prayer? Do you see the difference? I think it's both. I think I'm both affirmed and challenged in this. But what happened to me then all week long was every time I would run into something, it was like, wait, you know, like something feels overwhelming, right? Wait, but I am a man of prayer, which said to me, stop and pray. You know, like activate this word in your life. And so just stop. I'm a man of prayer. But I'm a man of prayer. You know, but what am I going to do about it? But I am a man of prayer. Don't worry about it. Pray about it, you know? So I just wanted to share that with you because last week we talked about using the Psalms as a way of being in a place of devotion where God could speak to us, where Holy Spirit could speak to us. Why? Because this is the living word of God. It's not dead letters. They are alive and they live. And as they live, they instruct us and we encounter it. So I hope that that will happen today as we go through the Psalms that we're going to look at. That you'll listen to that. And at the end of my message today, again, like last week, we're going to sit and have some time to bring something to God and let him speak to us from the Psalms. But that's going to begin with Psalm 113. But before we do that, each Sunday we have a different theme that helps us prepare in our hearts for the coming of Jesus at Christmas. Not just the coming of Jesus at Christmas, but really that's just a tiny little picture and reminder of what he did in fulfillment to Israel's longings and is going to do when he returns. So Advent is to come. It means to come in Latin, right? And so you got this, he's going to return. And so when we do this Advent wreath and this Christmas stuff, it's like, wait a minute, let's remember God fulfilled his promise to Israel to come. And the complete fulfillment of that, they are awaiting, and we are joining in with them so that all of us are crying out, come Messiah King, right? And so there's this whole cry going out in our hearts, and there's three things we're going to look at today. One is Israel's cry, our cry that we join with them in, and then the personal cry of my heart. Because there's something more, there's something other than just simply saying, Jesus, come back and stop all this foolishness and suffering and pain. there's Jesus. Would you come, Lord Jesus, right now into the loneliness and the waiting and the perplexity and the disappointment and the grief and all of the things that are in my heart right now? Would you come into that? So there's a crying out. There's a calling. And when we look in the Psalms, which we'll do in this morning, we're going to see those three things: Israel's cry, our cry, and the personal heart cry that we all have for coming, the coming of the Lord. So last week we talked about presence, right? That God is present with us, and we light a candle for that. And today we're going to talk about hope, the hope of the return of Jesus and the coming of our King. So those are the themes that we're looking at as we gather together here on these Sundays of Advent. Let's look at Psalm 13 and read through that and see how it leads us in the things of God. Psalm 13. All right. Here's how it starts. Here is you can hear in this the generations and the centuries of Israel's cry. You can hear it in the cry of the church. You can hear it in the cry of our own hearts. How long, O Lord? How long, O Lord? Will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and every day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? Look on me and answer, O Lord my God. Give light to my eyes, or I will sleep in death. My enemy will say, I have overcome him, and my foes will rejoice when I fall. But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord, for he has been good to me. So the psalm starts off with this amazing, honest cry from the person's heart. I've got a date by this one too. It says January 26th of 2008, when I was at Bethel Church in California in their prayer room. I don't know why that is connected here, but I know that something in that prayer room out at Bethel in 2008 struck my heart, and that's where my heart was at in that for whatever reason, and God spoke to me through that. But that's the cry of Israel, and we have a modern psalm. It's called O Come Emmanuel. You know, the psalms are songs, right? So it says that when we look at the psalms in our Bibles, we're looking at the songbook. Right? What do you want to sing today? Let's sing 113. I don't know. That's not too cheery. Probably wouldn't want to start a service with that one. Maybe somewhere in the middle. But it's a songbook. And you know, when we look at songwriters, they're really just writing poetry, and someone else has to come along and put the music to it. So when we look at this modern psalm, it captures this same sense, and I want to share it with you and have it in the background as we're going through, and return to it at the end. O come, Emmanuel. This is the God with us. O come, God with us. I'm gonna replace Emmanuel with God with us. Okay, so because that's what it's saying in Hebrew. O come, God with us, and ransom captive Israel. Pay the price to set these prisoners free, right? Come, God, with us, and pay the price, because we can't pay our own ransom. You can't pay your own ransom, folks, and you have been claimed, and of course I'm speaking to all of us who, you know, is as a past tense thing, but the truth is that we. As human creatures, we get claimed, and we can't pay our own ransom. So come, God, with us, and ransom captive Israel that mourns in lonely exile here until the Son of God shows up. Now, I want us to remember that Christmas begins in Genesis. Christmas begins in Genesis when the fall of man took place. And we read here, so the Lord God said to the serpent, because you have done this, Cursed are you above all the livestock and all the wild animals. You will crawl on your belly and you will eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your offspring and her offspring. And he, her offspring, he, singular, will crush your head and you will strike at his heel. You will strike at his heel, and as such, you will give him a mortal wound. But not until he has crushed evil at its source. That's the beginning of Christmas. Because that is the moment when God's creation falls and he loses his precious Eden. He loses his precious Eden where he walks with Adam and Eve in the cool of the day and just walks with them. And God, you know, God with us is with us. God with us was walking with us, talking to us, fellowshipping with us. A relationship of such incredible depth and intimacy and joy that nothing can compare. And that's what we're crying out for, isn't it? Oh, come, God, with us. We're crying, let's walk together in the cool of the day, God. Let's restore that. So Christmas starts in Genesis when that's lost. And God says, I will get it back. I will get it back. Nobody. I am God. Nobody takes from me what I intended. So he's got this thing that he's playing out, right? And so it's like, so there will come a time when the offspring of the woman, he will crush that snake's head and destroy evil at its source. Hallelujah. Merry Christmas. I mean, right? So we see that and we know that, and all the time since then, the millennia, since that time, our hearts are crying out and longing. Israel is crying out and longing. When? How long, O Lord? Psalm 13. How long, O Lord? How long, O Lord? Where are you? Have you forgotten us? And so in other psalms, they cry out like this as well. And let's look just briefly at Psalm 44, verse 1, where Israel cries out, we have heard with our ears, O God. Our fathers have told us what you did in their days, in days long ago. With your hand you drove out the nations, planted our fathers, crushed the peoples, made our fathers flourish. It was not by their sword that they won the land, nor did their arm bring them victory. It was your right hand, your arm, and the light of your face, for you loved them. Then in verse 23 of 44, awake, O Lord, why are you sleeping? Rouse yourself, don't reject us forever. Why do you hide your face and forget our misery and our oppression? We are brought down to the dust, our bodies cling to the ground. Rise up and help us, redeem us, because of your unfailing love. So Israel's crying out and saying, we've heard of all the things you've done, what you did to Pharaoh. How you released us from this army and that army, and how you came and you established David and you established Solomon, and it's all so amazing and it's wonderful, but where are you now? That same cry is echoing in all of our hearts. When we look at our lives, we say, God, I remember the days, how joyous they were, how wonderful they were, how full they were. Where are you right now? When my marriage fell apart, or I got the diagnosis, or my child got into trouble, or someone in my family won't forgive me, or I just can't seem to get rid of this sin. Help! God with us, come! So you see that how all these things are linked together. Israel's cry, the cry of the church, and my own heart's cry. O come, Emmanuel. Rejoice, rejoice, God with us will come to you, Israel. God, rejoice, rejoice, God with us will come to you, will shall come to thee, O Israel. O come, thou rod of Jesse, David's father. Free your own from Satan's tyranny. Now this modern hymn, a psalm, and I'm saying modern, it's an old one, but it's modern in comparison to these. This modern psalm is expressing where the actual captivity is coming from, where the actual burden that we're all bearing is coming from. It's sin, and it's the tyranny of Satan over our lives, and it's the cry out to say, oh, come, God, with us, and free your own from Satan's tyranny, and from the depths of hell your people save, and give them victory o'er the grave. So while Israel is crying out, save us from our enemies, right? The Philistines and all the others in the human flesh on the earth that we're doing battle with, and we're going to be actually taking up swords against and all of this. We are crying out for the tyranny of Satan and the penalty of sin that's over every human life until the atoning sacrifice is paid and the ransom is paid to get that captive out of kidnapping. Right? They've been kidnapped by Satan, and we have to pay a ransom to get them out. And it's like, how do we get the ransom to them? And this is what this modern psalm is talking about. Free thine own from Satan's tyranny, and from the depths of hell your people save. Give them victory o'er the grave. Rejoice, rejoice, God with us shall come to thee, O Israel. O come, thou dayspring from on high. Cheer us by thy drawing nigh, drawing close to us. Just give us some encouragement by drawing close to us, right? Just come close to me just a little bit, God, right here, right now. I mean, I know I can't, maybe you can't change everything right now, or maybe you can't reverse this or whatever, but could you just draw close a little bit, right? Oh, come, God, with us, and let me just feel that sense of the sweetness of your presence to enable me to say, okay, God with us is still with us. Disperse the gloomy clouds of night and death's dark shadows put to flight. Rejoice, rejoice. God with us shall come to thee, O Israel. O come, thou key of David, come and open wide our heavenly home. Make safe the way that leads to on high. Like, lead us, God. Open up the way where there seems to be no way. Put a pathway through the middle of the sea. Tear the curtain in half so that we can go into the Holy of Holies and get into that presence that we know is there. It's like, God with us. Make a way where there is no way. Make a way where we can't make a way for ourselves. Make a way that leads to that place and close the path of misery. Rejoice, rejoice, God with us will come to you, Israel. Oh, come, Adonai, Lord of might, who to thy tribes on Sinai's height in ancient times didst give the law in cloud and mist, majesty and awe. Rejoice, rejoice, God with us is coming to you, Israel. But the Israel that we're singing about is not simply the Israel that we would say are the tribes of the people of Abraham. The Israel that we're singing about in this psalm is the church. Together, we have been grafted in, right? We have been grafted into Israel. We are now, you know, whoever believes in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior is a child of Abraham. We become Israel, and Israel exists, and we exist, and together we're crying out. And it seems strange, doesn't it, that we're all crying out. They're crying out for Messiah King to come and establish his kingdom, and we're saying the same thing, only we know that he has come already and has established salvation by grace through faith in the atoning sacrifice that he was on the cross, and we're waiting for him to return to establish his kingdom. But together, we are crying out, come, Lord Jesus, the last words of the Bible, come, Lord Jesus, right? After all is said and done, after all that we've been through, all the way from Genesis, where it all began, all the way to the very end, the very last words of the Bible. Just come. Just come. come and establish your kingdom, and so we can live in the beauty and the grace, so we can walk with you in the cool of the day. And it says in the new kingdom, God will be with his people, and they will be with God, and he will be together with them. We'll be all living together, and his light will light us all up, and the beauty of everything. And it's like, oh God, this is what our souls were created for and what we long for. Oh come, God with us. Let it happen. Let it happen. Just do it, God. And so that's the note that the Bible ends on. That's the note that the Bible ends on, and that began in Genesis and ends in Revelation. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. And the third place where these psalms cry out to us have a personal longing, because we know that we can't make God come any sooner. We know that it's been 2,000 years since the promise. We know that there will come a day that Scripture will be fulfilled, because just as when God promised to Israel, I will come, he did. He came. He fulfills his promises. And it took forever in their minds, and many generations came and went, but he came. The same thing is true now. You know, we hear this thing, come Lord Jesus, Jesus is going to return, and we're kind of like, I don't know, yeah, when is that? Like maybe in the year 2500 or 3000 or, no. It will not last that long, folks, I'm sorry. But, you know, at least we have seen now that man in his own efforts, it's only getting worse. And I think that should help us to understand why God will intervene, and why it needs to be an intervention of unknown force and power and transition and change, where there's an establishment of an entire new creation and new kingdom. And in that, we will see who he is in all of his glory and take our place in joy forever and ever. Meanwhile, dear ones, meanwhile, while I'm waiting for that, while I'm crying out for that, life still keeps happening to me, right? Life just keeps happening to me. And that's where the come, O come, Emmanuel, O come, God with us, becomes personal. It's where Psalm 13 becomes the cry of my heart. God, what, you know, like, can you all relate to the experience where things can be going great and you're feeling really great with God and you're just running the race, right? You're just running the race. You're hitting some obstacles. You're jumping over them. You just keep running the race. Something smacks you in the head and you just keep running the race. And then all of a sudden, all at once, boom, you're flat on your face. I don't know what. You hit a mud spot? A bird knocked you in the head? Oh, I don't know. But, you know, this world will do that as you run your race, and you're down there, and it's like, and when I'm on the floor, when I'm on the ground, and I've been knocked down, it's like, O come, Emmanuel. It shifts, okay? It shifts in its focus. Instead of, you know, laying there on the ground saying, okay, this is hard, God, this is hard. I don't even know what to do with this, and I'm feeling my resources are really at a limit. Or I'm feeling like I can't even do this anymore. I can't handle this anymore. You know, I'm right. I'm strained. I'm whatever it is. And it's not like I'm crying out, God, come now. Like just end all of this. And I'm saying, God, come in right here, right now. Oh, come, God, with us. Oh, come, God, with me. And ransom me from this tyranny of this moment. Okay, so you see, there's just that sense of no. I need deliverance right now. I mean, I know I've been delivered of my sin. I know I'm going to heaven. I know all those things. But man, I am really, really, really struggling. And if I could push the easy button, I would. But I can't find it, or I've pushed it and nothing happened. And it's at that moment that we say, oh come, God with us. Oh, come, God, with us, and give us some strength. And that's what, so many times in the Psalms, what we actually hear people crying out with. In Psalm 77, I cried out to God for help. I cried out to God to hear me. When I was in distress, I sought the Lord. At night, I stretched out my untiring hands, and my soul refused to be comforted. I remembered you, O God, and I groaned. I mused, and my spirit grew faint. You kept my eyes from closing. I was too troubled to even talk. I thought about the former days, the years of long ago. I remembered my songs in the night. My heart mused and my spirit inquired, will the Lord reject forever? Will he never show his favor again? Has his unfailing love vanished forever? Has his promise failed for all time? Has God forgotten to be merciful? Has he in anger withheld his compassion? Now, folks, these are rough words. Okay, these are rough words. These are rough words to think that you can actually say those things to God. But not only can you say them to God, he wants you because he already knows them. Remember last week? You know my mind. You remember, you know everything I say. You know my words before I speak them. No matter where I go, you are there. He knows this. What he's inviting us to do, dear ones, is not just to tell him what he already knows, but he's inviting us to trust. It's another level of trust to be able to say, will you trust me with your heart of hearts, no matter how bad it sounds or how rough it is, will you trust that I will love you still? And he invites us to say, God, I do not understand why you let this happen. You are all powerful. You are all powerful. All things are yours. Why? And in the silence that returns to you, your soul cries out, God, God, I, in my limited human abilities, don't get it. And it's crushing me to not get it. Right? We all know that at some level. Some of us at a very deep level, deeper than I know. I know it at a certain level. Others maybe have, you know, avoided that. But we all know it at some level. At some level in our being, we all know that place. And not only does God invite us to say it, but to the one who says it, he made it scripture. Okay? To the words, he didn't say these words are blasphemous and I rebuke them. He didn't say, I will never allow those to be spoken. He said, speak them and write them down so that everyone will know that I want your trust in me to be so deep that you can say whatever you feel, and I will love you still. Write it down so that 3,000 years after it's been written down, there will be a people who have gathered in a place called Peoria, Illinois, in a church that I love, and those words will come back to them. Which is crazy, right? It's crazy. God's crazy. All right. I do think you're crazy sometimes. I really do. Yeah. Oh, I know you think I am too, Lord, so it's fair. We're not saying anything that you wouldn't say back to me. So, the Psalm 77, which is a lament of the heart, goes on and says, then I thought, to this I will appeal, the years of the right hand of the Most High. Now, isn't that amazing? Because just last week, we talked about your right hand will hold me fast. Your right hand will hold me fast. And what he's saying is, he said, I thought in all of this absence of God, there came to me the thought of, but what about all the years when I know that he was holding me fast and carrying me through things. That occurred. And it was like, yes. So I need to recall that. I need to remember that. I need to allow that to then begin to nurture me, comfort me, and hold me. So even the thought of his right hand holding me fast is a way of his right hand holding me fast. So he's going to hold on to me through those thoughts of his faithfulness. And in verse 13, your ways, O God, are holy. What God is so great as our God? So even in this psalm, in this expression, it comes to the conclusion, but you alone have the words of eternal life. Where else am I going to turn? Which I've said many times to God. And so what I want to do today is kind of just give us some time to say, how long, O Lord, and to lift up things to him and share with him from our hearts what we may be going through, and asking God with us to come, O come, and be with us in some way to encourage us. And that, those ways could be sickness, disease, permanent loss of a physical ability, not returning. There are so many things that I never realized when I was younger, that as you get older, this is a failing machine. It does not operate at the same level that it does at 20 when it's 60. It's just not there. And as much as when I was younger, I imagined how well I would take care of myself and how well I would keep active and all of these things. And it's like, yeah, well, it's still a machine that is going to wear out. And there's something about that is a real sense of, yeah, this does all end, doesn't it? We're all mortal. We're not, you know, and it's like life on this planet, life in this way, on this planet, on this earth, it's all going to change for all of us. And the things we hold so tightly to that we start to lose, it's like we need to let go. Because God has a plan. God has a plan for our bodies after this one. God has a plan for restoration. But it's something that produces grief. When you get a diagnosis, when they tell you that that's not going to change, when they say there's nothing they can do for you, there's a huge amount of grief, and you wonder, well, why are other people seemingly fine, but I'm not? Or a heart longing that we might have for, we go through life and we experience places where marriage didn't turn out like we thought it would, or it doesn't even turn out. Perhaps someone is longing for marriage in the first place, a spouse. Parents long for a child. A parent experiences the grief of the loss of a child. Or we experience the grief of the loss of a spouse. And what do you do in that aching and empty place of that grief? What do you do with that? Oh, come, oh, come. Come, God, with us. Freedom from sin. There's such heartache and discouragement and disappointment, even to cause someone to take their own life, who is involved in or entangled by some kind of sin that they cannot get free from, and they just keep crying out, oh, come, Emmanuel, and ransom this captive soul. Unsaved loved ones. How long do we weep? How long do we wonder? How long do we strain? How long do we just have our hearts broken on a daily basis for those who are not saved that we love, for a prodigal who has not returned and doesn't look like they're going to? How long do we wait for someone to forgive us, or for us to forgive someone, to remove that poison from our own soul? Oh, come, come, Emmanuel, come. Ransom, ransom, and set free. A child who just struggles, 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 and you don't know what to do. And I add on to that, for me, the layer right now that I'm daily depressed by, the level of cruelty and injustice in the world. How can we be so cruel? How can we be so cruel? How can we do this to the Ukrainians who just want to get a life and have heat during the winter? Why? Why? Why is this? Why is this necessary? Why is this happening? Why are we doing this to each other? And the other, the layer of divisive and dishonest leaders, divisive and dishonest Republicans, divisive and dishonest Democrats. It's all the same, guys. You can be in your party and say it's the other one, but you know what? It is across the board. I am sorry. But why? 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 And why do we have greedy, immoral business leaders who take advantage to only make another dollar? Oh, come, Emmanuel. This is what I, you know, all of these things on a personal level, dear ones, you know, you just see this world, and it's a broken world. It's a created world that was broken in Genesis, and God is getting it back, and Jesus came. And yet, in the meantime, while we're still struggling through this every single day, it's like, God, there's so much pain, there's so much suffering in my own life, in my own body, in my children, in my family, in marriages, and you see it in government, and you see it in politics, and in social justice, and just, oh my goodness, Jesus, come back. Oh, come, Emmanuel. How long, O Lord? And then we remember, we're supposed to remember. We're supposed to stop, and we're supposed to remember that there happened to be some shepherds in a field when the glory of the Lord started shining around them. And they were terrified, but the angel said, "Don't be afraid, because I am bringing you great news, good news of a great joy that will be for you and for all the people, because today, the one who is to crush the serpent's head has been born among you." He's here. He's here. And nothing will ever be the same. He's here. The woman's offspring. Today in the town of David. Oh, in the town of David, the Messiah, the promised Messiah King, Israel's hope, Israel's longing, Israel, with Israel crying out for, oh God, how long? Today. How long? Today. Israel, today. He's here. Your Messiah, your King. He has been born to you. He is the Messiah. He is the Lord. Suddenly, there was a host of the heavenly angels gathered around, praising God and crying out, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." Glory to God in the highest, because with the birth of this Messiah King, death is dead, the sacrifice will be accepted, sin is gone, curtain torn, spirit given, return promised, the kingdom awaits, Eden restored, hallelujah, it starts now. O come, Emmanuel. Come, God, with us, and walk with us, and bless us.